I'm just praying that the message tonight will be his message. And I'm going to tell you, this message was sown in tears and a lot of things, really. Today, as I was just seeking the Lord and trying to hear what he has to say, it wanted to say tonight, but it was a labor tonight to prepare this word. And so I'm just going to say this, that Lord, you can do what you want to do. I've got some words on this paper here, and if you decide you want me to share this, it's about share. So Father, I thank you so much. I lift up your holy name. You are an awesome, mighty, wonderful God. And you are so worthy to be praised, honored, and adored. And that's what we do tonight, Father God, as we prepare for this message, prepare for what you have to say. We just want you to be lifted up in this place. And I just pray, Father, that your fragrance, Father God, would be that which would be in the house tonight. That the aroma would draw the hearts of your people closer to you. Because that's where we desire to be, is close to you. So, Father, anoint your word. Use your servant. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Every year, we celebrate the sanctity of human life, and I know everybody don't celebrate it, and I believe the reason that they don't is because they really don't understand the significance and the magnitude of what this time of the year means. You know, our nation has many laws that's designed to destroy life. And I just want to start with a quote by Kenneth L. Connor, who is the chairman of the Center for a Just Society. And it starts like this. Human life is an unbroken continuum that extends from conception to natural death. Devalue life at any point on this continuum, and life at every other point is put at risk. So if you can kind of process that, in processing that, you know, it brought me to see that at the very beginning of life, if there isn't a respect or reverence for life at that point, then everything else is downhill from there. You know, and as we look at our society now, and we see how cold people are and uncaring, and we see the wounds that people carry, you know, that a big part of it has to do with them with not understanding how God sees life and what he had in his heart and mind when he created you. So God's ultimate artistic creation, the pinnacle of his own self-expression, is you. Can you hear that?
Amen.
that his artistic creation and the pinnacle of his own self-expression is you. You are his expression. He created you to be his expression on the earth. This includes everyone around you and each human on this planet. God has designed and created. And you know, today as I was studying, it just seems like God opened up this word in a way like never before. And I hope I can deliver this without, you know, falling apart. But as I was reading Genesis, and we're going to turn to that right now, Genesis 1. In verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God, in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And we're going to turn also to, Genesis 2, starting with verse 3. Okay, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And there's a little note below that in my Bible that gives the Hebrew word for sanctified, and that that word is kadesh, which means consecrated and sanctified. And the Hebrew word basically means to separate something to the worship and service of the Lord. So we are sanctified. Because when he created life, he sanctified and he blessed it. So therefore, you know, we are basically to be set aside as something for his, to worship him and to serve him. Okay, let's take a look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He breathed his own breath into human life. We're going somewhere, amen. Okay, in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And here, in the Hebrew, it help means either. The Bible uses my help most often. I'm sorry. The Bible uses my help, the word my help, most often of God as a helper. The term is term in no way belittles women or puts women in an inferior position to man. God created both women and men in his image to work together for his glory. So in verses 21 through 24, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and bore her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they shall be one flesh. And they shall be one flesh. Amen. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So there's a note here for that one too that says that when it talks about man leaving his father and mother, God, in beginning, ordained marriage and the family unit as the first most important institution on earth. God's plan for marriage consists of one male, one female, who becomes one flesh, united physically and spiritually. And this instruction excludes adultery, polygamy, homosexuality, immoral living, and unscriptural divorce. Woman was created to be a loving companion for man and a helper for him. As such, she was to share his responsibility and cooperate with him in fulfilling God's purpose for his life and the life of their family. The most beautiful thing about God's creation is that he made each of us, but he made us one of a kind, an original, to reflect his glory for his own purposes, which also includes the young, the old, the weak, every race, rich, the poor. Every soul is eternal and of infinite worth and value to our God. So the Bible teaches us that human life is sacred. And, you know, the unfortunate thing to this is that we don't know. We don't know how valuable we are. We don't know what intrinsic value that we possess, because we were made by Almighty God. You know, when I think of, one of the things that has been real difficult for me, and I'm going to say maybe in the last 6 months, and that was how I saw the devaluing of life. And my mom had gotten sick, and she had gotten really sick. She had fallen and had a huge sore on her leg. It was kind of like one of those that it became infected, and it was one of those kind that keeps eating into your flesh and eating into your flesh until, you know, it almost eats right to the bone. So I remember going with her to the doctor, and of course the doctor immediately, once he saw it, sent her to the hospital. She was there for maybe a couple weeks. And so for the doctor, of course, he didn't see a lot of hope in her leg being able to heal. So it's almost like he, in a sense, kind of gave up. And so he said something that really just really angered me. And that was, well, you know, she's 89. She's lived her life. And at this point, she should be able to do whatever she wants to do. And so I asked him, I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, you know, when people get that age, you know, they're going to probably die soon and da-da-da-da-da. No. I said, not so. Not so. Her life is just as valuable now as it was at birth or at the beginning of birth.
Amen.
And so, you know, to have a doctor like this and me speaking that kind of junk to you, you know, I told my mom, I said, look, you have still got a lot in you, and you are not done yet. So I told her, look, we're not going to look at this dying thing. You go when God calls her. So when she was in the hospital, I was there with her, and one of the nurses came up, well, actually was a doctor, came up and said, well, you know how they come up to you and ask you, well, if your heart stopped beating, do you want to be revived and all of this? And so I was sitting there, and so my mom said, well, no. And so I said, well, no, she wants you to revive her if her heart starts beating. And so they said, well, this is her decision. I said, well, as power of attorney, you better do everything in your power to keep her alive. You know, she will go when it's her time to go, but you will not, you not take her life. So, I mean, I had to do that two times, because when I went out to move the car, they came back and just so happened I got back in time enough to see them going over this. You know, what do you want to do? So I told him, I said, well, you know I told you that, you know, I'm not trying to negate anything that she says, but, you know, I have a say in this too. And we're not going to give up on life. We're not going to give up on it at all. So after that, when they finally got her in the room, I said, well, let me get my oil out.
Amen.
So, you know, two times, you know, my brother was in there the second time. You know, I said, well, you know, this is a lie. We're not going to accept this. Mm-hmm. So as she was laying in bed, I just anointed her, every part of her, from top of her head to the foot of her feet, to the soles of her feet. And I said, you will not die. You will not die.
Amen.
And so she really didn't want to die, because she's got so much life and spunk still in her.
Right.
You know, so it didn't, you know, and I know that there's some things that need to happen for her before the Lord takes her. So long story short, the leg started healing, and it's pretty much healed now.
Amen.
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 God is so good, I tell you. After I anointed her, the aroma of the oil just permeated the room. And so my brother asked me, he said, well, what kind of oil is that you were using? He said, it didn't smell up the room. I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's the glory. That's the glory of God. You know, we're not giving up, is what I told her. So right now, she's doing very well. Matter of fact, they called me today to give me an update on how she's doing. They said, well, her health has turned, and she's doing very well health-wise. And she's a little forgetful, but
but her health is continuously getting better. So I said, well, praise the Lord for that, because it wasn't her time. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, we judge people by their age. And we really shouldn't do that. Because, you know, I have encountered older people that's full of wisdom and knowledge. And I got to get some of that. I mean, they got to release that so I can get some. You know, so I had a, I used to call her my grandmother, but she was actually a distant relative. And this woman was a woman of God. She was a woman of God. And she was old. Hallelujah. My sister and I used to go and sit with her and talk and things like that. But her, the presence of her was like sitting in the presence of God, because she was such a godly woman. And she was a studier of the word. So, you know, when we came to visit with her, I mean, I would just sit at her feet and hear her speak of different things. And she would just pour into my sister and I. And so, you know, so I've learned, not just from that point, but even from other older women that have, that's full, you know, that's full of God, of wisdom and knowledge and anointing. And we've got to stop discounting these people. Really, we've got to stop discounting them, because, you know, a lot of times we look and we say, well, we need the young folk. We need the young folk. Yes, we do. We love the young folk. But sometimes they're lacking a little, you know. Amen. They got to get it, just like we got to get it. So, but those older ones that are rich in experience, in knowledge and wisdom, we need their input. We need to be able to glean from them. Amen. So that was one of the things that I think was really just really on my heart today, was that when we look at the sanctity of human life, we look at abortion. And abortion is not the only important thing about the sanctity of human life. You know, one of the things that, as I was just reminiscing and thinking today, was that, you know, there are many, many, many women out there that are just totally broken down and wounded from these acts. And they haven't had a person in their life that can direct them and help them to find the right road. You know, but day after day, I see the wounds of women and men, and the men that they are, that are hanging with them. The wounded, the walking wounded. And we wonder, well, why do they act the way that they do? You know, what's wrong with them? You know, the thing that I say is, Lord, there's a wound there that needs healing. And we need to pray into those wounds, that God would begin revealing the root of those things that are taking place in the lives of our young people. Go through some horrible stuff. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know if I could have made it if it was, you know, in this time. They go through some really, really hard things, and many times we expect them to make decisions like, you know, someone more mature, like a Christian, when they don't even know what they are. You know, so they need their help. So my prayer is, Lord, how do we reach them? How do we reach them? Because they're wounded, and they need us. They need what God has put in us to be able to give to them, just like it was given to me. So that's my heart this time for the sanctity of human life. That the value of all life, you know, the thing that, just as this quote said, that human life is a continuum. It's an unbroken continuum. And that it extends from conception to natural death. That to devalue life at any point on this continuum, and life at every other point, is put at risk. And we wonder, why are all these kids shooting each other? What on earth is wrong with them? Well, now, we have passed a law that says it's okay to kill all these babies. You know, it's okay at any point in the pregnancy. Even just before they're about ready to be born, it's okay to kill them. Now, what's wrong with us? How can we pass laws like that? What's wrong with us? You know, I think one thing that unfortunately is wrong is the lack of knowledge. You know, because it's very difficult for a woman or a mom or dad, you know, and sometimes the moms come with them and they want abortion. And so I said, well, I'll let one of my counselors take the little girl, let me talk to mom. Mom, do you know what you are deciding? You want to take the life of your first grandchild? You know, and no, it's not a baby yet. Oh yes, it is a baby. It's just small. Just very, very small. But this, do you know what this baby is doing right now in the belly of your daughter? Right now, the heart is beating. Right now, brain waves can be detected. Right now, everything that he or she will ever be in life is already there. You know, so you're talking about taking the life of this child? So let me talk to you about other options. You know, people a lot of times will not hear the adoption option. They would rather take the life of that child than to allow someone that is dying to have a child to take that child and raise it. You know, so in our society, it's one of two things, life or death. You know, and, you know, of course, the thinking is this, well, you know, I don't want somebody else raising my child, you know, or they might abuse the child. But you can really kill the child. You know, so come on. Let's get this together. You know, I don't mean to be laughing about this because it really is serious. And like I said, you know, a lot of times people really don't know that, you know, the fetal, what the continuum is from conception, you know, until the baby is born. They don't know. You know, so they make decisions based on ignorance. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're there. We're there to lovingly, compassionately help and support, teach and train women and families so that they don't have to make these kind of mistakes. You know, I had a client to tell me, she said, after I had my baby, she said, I went through this horrible time where I just cried. But she said, when I came to you, I was planning to terminate his life. And she said, how could I have been thinking that? Look at this precious baby. I was going to kill him. And so I said, well, you know, I'm glad you came to us because we were able to give you the information that you needed to make an informed decision. Amen. So a lot of times people don't see the importance of, you know, what we do. And some may say, well, you know, pregnant girls and they're having these babies and you know, blah, 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 and, you know, you need to tell them, give them some birth control and this, that, and the other. No, we don't do birth control. The only birth control we do is abstinence. So what we're going to do is sit them down and talk to them about God's way of sex for sexuality. That it was never God's plan or purpose for you to have sex before you were married. You know, so that's the stand we take. But we also have a program that if they are willing, that we can take them through, that will help them understand how we're created, you know, and what God's plan is for human sexuality. You know, of course, we don't have too many takers on that, but, you know, because they, you know, a lot of times see us as being old-fashioned. But the thing of it is that's the only birth control there is. You know, you may take chemicals and things like that, and it does things to your body. You know, some women, it become infertile. You know, so it's never God's plan to have sex outside of marriage. I don't care how much you love him or how wonderful he is. The plan is that if he loves you that much and you all are bound to be together, then go before the justice of the peace and get a certificate. And that's a covenant. You make a covenant with one another. And then that's when you know that maybe they really love you. But they'll learn to love you if they don't. But that's important. But that's what we do. We offer hope, and we offer God's order, you know, for sexuality and for, you know, children. You know, we see so many poor children, you know, that... unfortunately, their moms didn't know what to do with them. You know, I've had some where they've come and taken their babies away because, you know, they don't know what to do. So, but anyway, that breaks my heart because, you know, it really breaks my heart to see that. But sometimes that's the best thing for the child, unfortunately. Sometimes it's the best thing for the child. And maybe, you know, when she gets herself together, that, you know, maybe she'll be able to go to court if they have somebody have, you know, adopted them and get the baby back. But we do, one of the things we always do is pray to them. We tell them that God loves them, and we go over the plan of salvation with them so that they will have an opportunity to accept the Lord into their lives and begin a new path, mm-hmm. a new direction in their lives. So that's what I've got for you today. And I thank you for listening.
Amen.
Appreciate you.